I just feel like this would be the thing to do today. Father, Lord, just want to lift up my brother Michael to you today, our brother in the Lord. Pray, Father, Lord, that you would just give him words, Lord, that you would just speak through him, Lord, to open our eyes up to what is going on in the world, what our purpose is in this world. May you use it as a wake-up call into the inner parts of our spirit and our soul. I pray, Father, for him, Lord, as a brother. I pray, Father, for him as our speaker this morning. And may your will be done, for it's in Christ's name. Amen.
Can you hear me now? All right. So, just like I said, we want to give thanks to God for Pastor Jimmy and the team in this church and for all of us to have agreed to come and fellowship this morning. We pray that the Lord himself will speak to us at this time. Like he said, we are originally from Nigeria. And we are here to studying the Word of God and to do the ministry that the Lord has called us to do. So this morning, we do not have much time. So what I'm going to do is that we are going to do a kind of skipping some of the things because there is a lot and we cannot finish it at a time. But the little time we have, I'll just share with you for what the Lord has helped us to do there back in Nigeria and what the Lord is doing right now, even in Fort Wayne, and what we desire to do in the near future. So, if you're here with your Bible, please, I want you to turn with me to the book of John chapter 10, verses 10. Just verse 10. John 10:10. And I know it is a passage that is familiar to all of us. In fact, I believe we might have memorized this verse right from our elementary school. So I want us to read it together. Okay? All right. If we are all there, I want us to read it together. 1, 2, 3. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Now, in another translation, it says, to have life in abundance. So this morning, we're going to talk about the purpose of our calling to the Christendom. The purpose of our calling to the Christendom. But if you are to give it a subheading, we'll talk about the call to make a difference. The call to make a difference. And this has to do with me and my wife. Because I know for sure what the Lord has called me to do, what the Lord has called my wife to do, and what the Lord has used us to do why we are in Nigeria. Before coming to the United States of America, the Lord helped us to have pastored the church for some couple of years. At least by the end of this year, we should be talking about 21 years in ministry. So we love to see people who are called by his name. I mean, the name Jesus Christ. So we pastored the church in Nigeria, and the Lord also helped us to be able to do the work of church planting. We love church planting. We love everything that has to do with mission. And that is exactly what brought us here to study our mission, to see how the Lord will use us to be able to propagate the work of God here on earth. Called to make a difference. Now, from where we read in the book of John chapter 10, verse 10, there are three basic things that I want us to take. And if you are to forget anything, please don't forget this. In that passage, it says that the thief came to do how many things? Three. One, to do what? To steal. Two, kill. Three, to destroy. Let's go again. One, steal. Two, and Jesus said that I have come not to steal, but to give life, life in abundance. Amen. And that is the reason why you can see me here today, because if I tell you where I come from, the position where the Lord picked me, the position where the Lord called me, you will know that it is all by the grace of God. That Satan, the purpose of Satan's coming is for him to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And that is what he has been doing right from the beginning. And that is why when he came, he first of all went to Adam in order to want to steal that which the Lord has given unto him. But glory be to the name of the Lord Almighty, that God did not just abandon man. God, from the beginning, provided a means for you and I to be saved. Amen. Now, we know exactly what Satan has come to do. Three things: to steal, to kill, and to destroy. Now, the purpose of the coming of Jesus is for one thing: to give life. Life in its fullness. Life in abundance. And I want to ask this question before we continue. Friends, do you have that life? Have you encountered Jesus? Have you experienced Jesus? Because the purpose of his coming was for him to give life. Life its fullness. And then the third thing for you and I is that when Jesus came and discovered that yes, the enemy came to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but he said, I've come to give life, life in abundance. He said, now I call you. And I want to ask you, friends, when you answer the call to become a child of God, to become a Christian, to become a candidate of heaven, a citizen of heaven, what is the purpose of your existence here on earth? Why are you living? Why am I living? Why are we living? The purpose of Satan is to kill. The purpose of Satan is to want to steal and for him to destroy. What is your purpose? Why are you existing? Why are you earnest on Sunday in the church? Why do you come to church? Why do you come to prayers? Why do you go to activities? What is the purpose? What do you want to achieve in life? The purpose that God has revealed to me in my life is that he wants me to make a difference. He wants me to make a difference wherever I find myself. In the book of Matthew chapter 5, he says what? He says, we are to be the light, the salt of the world. And friends, that is the purpose that God has called you and I. To make a difference in where you live. To make a difference in the place where you work. To make a difference in the family where you live. And I want to ask you, friends, even as a husband, as a wife, as a son, as a daughter, what do your family say about you? And I want to ask, friends, if it happened that we wake up and discover that this church here, it is no longer existing, what would the people in this community say about this church? What do people say? What impact are we making? What impact are you making in your life? And so, God has called us to make a difference. Now, we are also told in Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, that Jesus called the disciples. Is somebody there? Somebody can read Matthew chapter 4, verse 18 to 22, please, quickly. Let me just go ahead and read. He said, while walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw the two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And they searched, and he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. We do not have time to read it through, but you can read it when you get home. He said, when he saw these people, what did he say? He said, follow me, and I will do what? I will make you fishers of men. They were fishing, but he said, no. The reason why I'm calling you today is to be a fisher of men. It is a special assignment. I consider it a very special assignment. How do you fish men? So, the calling of disciples into the ministry, it was for them to be fishers of men, to go out and what? And fish men. And I want to ask you, friends, when you came to know Christ, how many years have you been a Christian? And I want to ask you, how many people have you fished from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light? God did not just call you as an individual just to remain to go to heaven empty-handed. He wants you, just like you have received the grace of God, the same thing he wants you to all, to be able to extend the grace of God in the life of people who are living in the dark. That is what God has called us to do. Why did God call you and I to become Christians? We are called to make a difference on earth. Rick Warren, in his writing, said, you weren't created just to consume resources, to eat, breathe, and to take up space. God designed you to make a difference with your life. This is one God's purpose for your life, and it is called ministry or service. God did not just call you into the ministry, or God did not just call you and I to become a Christian just to occupy a space. And I want to ask a question, friends. If you plant a tree, there are two things that a tree will do. Either it will bear fruit, or it will provide a shade. Right? Now, if you plant a tree, and the tree does not provide a shade or produce fruit, what do you do with that tree? What will it do with the tree that you planted and it's not producing fruit and it's not providing shade? What will you do? You cut it off. Yes, sir. You cut it off because it is occupying a space. Friends, I want you to know that God did not just call you into the kingdom to occupy a space. And I want you to know there are people who are still on the reserve bench that God has not even tested. And don't allow your life to be replaced with another person. God has called you with a purpose. And the purpose is to go out and what? And fight against the kingdom of the dark and bring in into the kingdom of light. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 to 10, it says, God saves you by his grace. When you believe, and you cannot take credit for this, it is a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. So no one can boast about it. For we are God's masterpiece. He has created on us a new Christ Jesus, so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. Please, can we go to slide 5? Okay, slide 4. I didn't know that it's not there. Slide 4. Good. All right. No, the next one. Good, 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 good. Okay, the next slide. All right, Ephesians. Okay, we are there. So, now, like I said, we are being called that the salvation we have in Jesus Christ is by grace. Grace through Jesus Christ. We have it through faith in Christ Jesus. And the purpose why he called us is for us to do good works. Right? He has called us to do good works. But I want you to know that good works cannot give you salvation. Please understand that. Good works cannot give you what? Salvation. You and I, we cannot earn salvation. We cannot merit salvation. But we can receive salvation by faith in who? In Christ Jesus. And in verse 9, it says, now that you have been saved, it says, he saved you and I with a purpose. And the purpose is for you to do what? Good works. The evidence of our salvation is what? Is good works. The works we will do. And that is what is called ministry or service. Now, I want to give you the ministry example in Nigeria. The next slide. Okay. Now, there it says, in Nigeria, the Lord help us, like I said, the Lord help us to be able to have done some ministry, do church planting, and also have a ministry that has a name. We call it Hedges of Mercy. Hedges of Mercy is founded with a view to presenting the gospel of Jesus, making disciples and gathering the harvest for him. This we do through the discipleship center spread across the country and the church planting. The next slide. Hedges of Mercy also have a program that helps people struggling from hurts and hang-ups of life. Next slide. Hedges of Mercy also has hedged through God's word. For people, it has come to witness from the power of sin that leads to death and other forms of human struggles that result from the fall. Good. These struggles could be substance and physical abuse, dysfunctional families, poverty, and other challenges of life. So the Lord has helped us be able to reach out to this group of people to disciple them, because that is what the Lord has called us to do. But again, in Nigeria, just as we have had, let me see how many people here have ever heard the word ISIS. Let me see your hands up. ISIS. Okay, good. Let me see how many people have heard of Boko Haram. All right. Now, Boko Haram is worse than ISIS. Boko Haram, in 2009 till date, they have killed not less than 23,000 people in Nigeria. And mostly are Christian. Mostly are persecuted because of the faith in Christ Jesus. So Hedges also provide a hedge for persecuted Christians through discipleship and counseling. And I just want to share with you a little bit the persecution that our brothers and sisters are passing through in Nigeria. So that you know that where we are, this is not a place for you and I. For us not to have experienced it, that does not mean that it will not come. And so our brother Ellen, please, can we go to the next slide? Just to have a look to see what Boko Haram has done in Nigeria. No voice. All right, just give me some few minutes.
Let's hear your voice.
All right, I think we'll just continue from there.
Minorities in the north,
we may not watch it today, maybe another time, okay?
And the south as conquered territories.
Good.
And never allow them to have control of their future. The minorities, the willing minorities he referred to, now the Kaduna area, Jaria area, in the North Central, Plateau and Benue in the Middle Belt, and then the South, as indicated by this comment. So the effect now, the situation that has led to the displacement of people in all areas referred to as internally displaced persons. The situation has been going on for the last 15 years, worsened in the last five, and got to this point in the last couple of years, where more than 600,000 people are displaced with nowhere to go, as the following pictures indicate. Here is a family house that has been vacated because Fulani herdsmen were heard of coming. Here they are at a school where they are being housed, sleeping on the floors and being taken care of by donations from philanthropists. People moving from one village to another, seeking refuge from the Fulanese. As you can see, that's all they have. Taking a break, heading to the next village, taking a break, and getting water. Now here they are waiting for food and medical supplies. In the southern Kaduna Maraka area, this is what you have. A house raged down. A human being murdered, and someone played doctor on them. someone set ablaze. A whole compound, like in Ski, wiped out, murdered, and then beheaded. A mass grave for the massacred. Mother, brother, and sister taken out. In Plateau State, the fierce strife to overrun Plateau State became full state from 2001. Several terrorists and jihadists waged war on Plateau State since 2001, leading up to the near total annihilation of the inhabitants of Dogo Nahawa village near Jos, where 450 out of the 500 inhabitants were massacred in the spring of 2010. Sustained terrorist attacks include bombings were carried out in Jos City between 2010-2012. Since then, the attack have moved from major cities into isolated villages and homesteads, where these attacks and killings occur with rhythmic regularity. Here is vehicle to haul off murdered people to a mass grave. You can see children there. Families, more families. A village cleaned out and then raged. Then the Fulanis moved to Benue State, where a pogrom was unleashed on about half of Benue State, a state with an estimated population of Tiv people close to 7 million, has been invaded by the Fulanis. This has led to the massacre of thousands of people across the state, not to mention over 500,000 who have been displaced and property worth thousands of millions of dollars destroyed in the name of open grazing. The situation is such that cows are more important than human beings. If allowed, the jihadists would not only massacre and occupy land, but force the living into Islam. At this point, let me make it very clear that this presentation and this appeal to you has absolutely nothing to do with the Islam. Nor are we trying to pitch Islam versus Christianity. It has absolutely everything to do with violence. The violence, the attacks, the result of which you see here is unacceptable anywhere, anytime.
You know, from there, we do not have time to watch the video to the end, but if you have time, you can see the pastor, and then you'll be able to have a complete view of what is happening. But friends, like I said, this is the experience that we in Nigeria are passing through. In the Middle East, the same experience. In Iraq, the same experience. In Syria, the same experience. And I want you to know that, friends, sometimes when we talk about the issue of persecution from this jihadist called the Islamic sect, you know, when they come to a particular place, one thing they will tell you that we are a religion of peace. Let's live in peace. But let me ask you, when you talk about the issue of peace, what is the relationship between the sword and peace? Because the emblem of Islam is what? Is sword. When they come to you and say peace unto you, and you say no, what do? They will cut your throat. And that is exactly what they are doing in Nigeria. So in Nigeria, the Lord has helped this ministry that we call Hedges of Mercy to be able to help the persecuted families praying for healing from the pains of persecution. So you can see the church there where it was built for these people to receive counseling as well as discipleship. The next slide. Hedges of Mercy have a different strategies. And number one is evangelism and discipleship. The main aim of this is to win people to Christ, plant churches, and raise disciples for Him. Please, let's go to the next slide. Now, like I said, we are into church planting because we felt that is what the Lord has called us to do. Not only to remain in a comfort zone. For the fact that we have been saved, now I feel that no, I don't need to be able to share with those people who have not yet heard. So here you can see this is an example of a church that was planted. Now, when you talk about a church, you know, we want to live in a luxury houses in a place like this, but in Nigeria, in Africa, it is not so. You can see that it is just trees. We call the trees and what? And just make a kind of a tent for people to live in. This is a church that we planted. This is another church. The next slide, please. The next slide. There is another church. The next slide. Now, this is a church under what? Under a tree. The next slide, please. This is another church. The next slide. This is another church with a bench under a tree. And you know, people do praising. You know, but they praise the name of the Lord with joy, even in hardship. Even in suffering. Because we know that our citizenship is not here. Our citizenship is where? It's in heaven. And I want you to know that any suffering that you are passing through, friends, it is not going to be eternal. It's temporal. Every suffering you are passing through in life, it has a what? An expiring date. So, worshiping under the tree, that does not mean that, look, we are going to be under the tree forever. This is just temporal. The next slide. Now, Hedges of Mercy also provide community water solution. Let me ask you, friends, this is water that we drink. There are so many communities that do not have the potable water. I mean the clean water. This is where people go to fetch water and drink. Can you drink this water? Let me ask you, friends. This is a pond that is there that even the animals come to what? To drink in the same pond, and human being drinks in the same pond. But here, the Lord helped the Hedges of Mercy to provide just the basic amenity for these poor people in a community. The next slide, please. Now you can see, this is a very local way of what, of producing a very clean water. And this happened through the help of the church where I worship here in Living Water Community Church in Garrett. The Lord laid it in their heart for them to be able to help, even though the amount was little, but let me tell you, it was so big to us. When they gave us, through the Vacation Bible School, the Children Vacation Bible School, they gave us the offering they did, and we sent it back home. And today, that the people there back at home, they can have this potable water, clean water. Praise be to the name of the Lord. And I want you to know that you can do the same. If you see the church in Garrett, it's a very small church. Our pastor knows the place. Very small church. How many of us? Very few number. So it is not a matter of the size, but it is the matter of what? Of the heart. And so you can see the next slide. You can see the next slide, please. Next one. Now, this is another one. We use this also to drill a borehole. They want to provide water for the communities where there is no access to a clean water. Next slide. Yeah, you can see. Now, these two women you are seeing there, they are Muslims women. You can see them being covered. They cover their heads. You know, we use these answers to be able to reach out to those who come to faith water. You know, we use the strategy to be able to dig or to drill a borehole in a mission community. And then those who are unbelievers, that we use that means when they come to fetch water, we use the women to share the gospel of Christ. You remember the story of Jesus with the woman in the well? That is the strategy we use. Now you can see, if you want clean water, come, you will get it, but you get it where? In the mission compound. So when they get the water, they will get not only the physical water, but they will get the living water that will lead them to where? To eternal life. Praise be to the name of the Lord. So, Hedges of Mercy, we use that. The next slide, please. Hedges of Mercy also is into Girl Child Rescue Project. There are a large number of women and girls aged between 8 and 15 who seek refuge from forced marriage or marriages and other forms of abuse. Next slide, please. Scores of them also truly want to be in school to seek a better life for their life, future generation. The girl child is perceived in Africa by the culture here as a liability and thus exposed the girl child to excessive labor and being used as a commercial product, given out in marriage to the highest bidder, irrespective of age or religion. The next slide, please. The project seeks to rescue these girls from the traits, from what they are actually encountering. In fact, there are 70 girls aged between 8 and 19 on this project, now all in elementary one. These girls, all in elementary one. Next slide, please. Now you can see, friends, what do you see here? These are girls from age 9 to 15 to 19, walking half naked. They do not have clothing the way we have clothes here, and we do not even know what to do with the clothing. This is the life in Africa. This is life in Nigeria. But Hedges of Mercy, the second level of the girl child, the Lord provided. And the girls you are seeing over there, now you can see them being clothed through this ministry. You can also see the third level, please. The third level. The next slide, please. The next slide. Now, the fourth level of this girl child project, it not only being clothed, but the Lord used the Hedges of Mercy to clothe them and as well provide an elementary kind of school for them. Now you can see they have the mattresses where they sleep. They have the clothes where they wear these clothes, and they are joyful. Friends, this is what the Lord helped. Next slide. Now we are into helping children who are out of school. Next slide, please. You can see children out of school. The next slide. Yes, the next slide, please. Now children now in school and dressed by a kind-hearted. This is wonderful. This is someone who, through this ministry, clothed these children instead of allowing them to be on the street. The next slide. Now you can see the children and their teachers. Now these teachers, we just give them, we help them with the basic one. The basic, not even the issue of salary. We just give them a kind of talking just to appreciate them, to take care of these children. The next slide. The Hedges of Mercy also is into campaign against substance abuse. Friends, I want you to know, if you forget anything, don't forget this. That sometimes we forget where the Lord picked us. We forget where the Lord called us. You remember the story of Peter? That when the Lord called Peter, where did he find Peter? They were fishing, they were doing fishing. But the Lord went there and picked them. And I want you to know that some of us were picked in a terrible mess. And today the Lord has made us to be who we are. So, wherever that you see, I mean, even those whom we call the drug addicts, sometimes we want what? We want to tease them. We want to what? We look at them as people who are rejected into society. God never rejects any man. God is willing to receive everyone that comes to him. His hands are open. Now we are into the ministry of drug addicts. Now you can see the next slide. This slide, it is the campaign against the substance abuse, to disciple them and to train them. The next slide, please. Now you can see this is the graduation ceremony, recover from drug addicts. Next slide, please. Now this is a commission. Graduation ceremony of recovered drug addicts and commission into what? Into ministry. Friends, God can use us. It does not matter where we have found ourselves. God can pick us and what? And polish us and make us to be an arrow, an instrument that he can use in the ministry. Now, campaign against substance abuse. The next slide, please. Now, this is somebody we may not know. But I want you to know that this is someone very close to us here in Fort Wayne that the Lord helped us to be able to reach out. This is a drug addict family, but the Lord is using this family today. The next slide. I don't know. You can see somebody in the midst. Do you know that person? Does that person look like somebody that you know? You know him? I don't know him, but you know. Now, the next slide. This is another family that the Lord used us. I and my family to be able to reach out. And today they are on fire for the Lord Almighty. These are drug addicts. But today they are a new, different human being. Praise be to the name of the Lord. The next slide. Now you can see the same young man you saw over there is the same young man. Yes, the next slide. You can see. Now, here in Fort Wayne, as I said, wherever we find ourselves, we want God to use us. It does not matter whether we are in Nigeria, whether we are in what, Iraq, whether we are in U.S., wherever we find ourselves and God wants to use us, our hands are open. Now the Lord help us to be able to start a ministry, reaching out to the drug addicts, reaching out to the international immigrants. And we call this ministry Fountain of Hope. We do a Bible studies. Discipling these people so that as many who are coming without Christ from African countries want to use them as a point of entry to their countries. And not only that, but even in this nation, we want to use these people that they are giving their life to Jesus Christ as instrument for the Lord Almighty. The next slide, please. Now you can see this is the Bible study. Yes, the next slide. That is the Bible study group. Now, it leads us to the second point that we need to ask ourselves. We do not have time, but the question is that why are we called on to good work? Or why did the Lord call us into the kingdom of God to become Christians? We are called on to good works, as we read from the book of Ephesians. We do not have time to go into that, but let's go to the next slide, please. The next one. Alright, the next one please. The next one. Yeah, let me just say the examples of good works through Ages of Mercy still in Nigeria. Foundation of Ages of Mercy, Rescue, Rehabilitation, Reconnect, and Abandon and Orphan Children in Nigeria. The children are rescued from the street where they are victimized and provide a safe family environment to heal and thrive. They are nurtured in a body, mind, and spirit. Through counseling and rehabilitation, they are reconnected to school and loving relationship and given the opportunity to grow to a thriving adulthood. The next slide. Okay. Yeah, you can see the children there. Yes, the next slide, please. Please, the next slide. Now, it leads us to the final aspect of this ministry, or the ministry of these Ages of Mercy that the Lord has helped us to do. He said, we are called because God has a special assignment for us. He has a very special assignment for us, like we read in the book of Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. The disciples of Jesus Christ were called for a special assignment, fishing for men. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. You were placed on this planet for a special assignment. Please, can you turn to your neighbor and say, talk to that person, please. Just give me permission. Just talk to your neighbor that you were called for a special assignment. Talk to somebody. Talk to somebody. It's like we're... Do you understand what I'm saying? Talk to pastor. I'm talking to pastor. Talk to your neighbor that you were placed here on earth for a special assignment. Talk to your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor. You were placed here for a special assignment. You are not just placed here for nothing. There is a special assignment upon you. And let me tell you, as a pastor, let me tell you, when I was in Nigeria, I believe the call of God upon my life as a child of God. When I come to your home, I said, I am coming with the blessings of the Lord. Because the Bible said that as a servant of God, any house you enter, pronounce peace. And if there is anyone that accepts the peace of God, that peace will rest upon that home. And if you refuse to accept, the man of God, the servant of God, the child of God will go back with his own blessings. So you are placed here for a special assignment. And I want to challenge you in this last clip for you to watch and see that you have a special assignment like this person. Example of true love. Next slide. Now, this person you are seeing, this lady you are seeing, and this man, we are made to understand that they went to the same school, elementary school, college, and they graduated at the same time. But this young man went into drug addict. You know, he went into what? Using drugs, drug abuse. So I want to say that this man, he is not mentally ill. No, he's sound. It is just that he have allowed himself to be what? To be abused by the substance, by drugs. But this lady, she was passing, and lo and behold, she discovered that this man, they were in the same class, doing the same thing. And then what happened? This man was sleeping under the bridge, not in the house. And at the end of it, this lady went. She felt the call of God upon her life, and she went and picked this man. And let me ask you, how many people here would be willing to sleep on the same, maybe under the same roof with this kind of person? Very few. But this lady went and talked to this man and invited the man into her own home. Next slide. This is level 2. Now she provided the meal for this man. Level 3, please. This is level 3. If you think this is level... No. Let's go down gently, please. This is level 3. Now, we are made to understand that she provided a meal. She also provided some medication to be able to revive this man. Level 4, please. Now, the man that was sleeping under gutter, now he's sleeping where? On a bed. In a house. The next level. This is level 5. Level 6, please. This is level 6. Let's go to the next level. 7. This is the same man. 8. This is the same man. Level 9. Do you know whether it is still the same person? Does it look like the same person? Please respond to me. Is it the same person? He's somebody that you can stay with, right? Okay, level 10. Now, not only standing together, but they are eating together now, right? The next level, level 11. Now, the man that was even wearing rags, now he's wearing what? Suit and what? And tie. Yes, level 12. Level has changed, right? Level 12. Okay, level 13, please. Now, what do you see here? Excuse me, what do you see here? What? Okay, yeah, that is very close, very close. What do you see here? What is happening here, please? Pardon? Yes. They are doing what? Prayer. They are praying for him. Praying for what? For commission. They are commissioning him into the ministry of drug addicts. You see, Jesus said that the work that the Lord, my Father, gave unto me, I gave unto you to do likewise. Just like he has been picked from the pit, now he's been commissioned to go and do what? And do likewise. The last level. Do you think it's the same person here, friends? This is a man that was picked from where? Under the bridge. And that is why I say, friends, God has a special assignment for you. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It is only remain for you and I for you to be able to open your eyes to see what the Lord has for you. Friends, what do the society say about you? What do your family say about you? Where you are working, where you are living, you can do something very special for the Lord Almighty. I pray that the Lord will use us in this community to reach out for the kingdom of light. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you. We give you praise. We give you honor for giving us an opportunity to come and listen to you at this time. Lord, we thank you because you've taught us in a word that Satan comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But Jesus, you've come to give life, life in abundance. My Lord and my God, we want to pray that are there people in this auditorium, are there people in this meeting that have not yet experienced you, my Father? Lord, this is an opportunity that you have given unto us today. Your hands are open to receive every man, any woman who is willing to surrender his life or her life to you. And I want to give this opportunity. Is there anyone in this church? You can raise your hands up. I want to pray with you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, the door is open. And Jesus, he said, the day is the day of salvation for you. Just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. Thank you. God bless you. Just raise your hands. Just raise your hands and I'll pray with you. The door is open. God is saying today is the day for you. Raise your hands as I pray with you. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I present, O God, your children that have surrendered their life, their hearts, to you. Today, that in the name of Jesus Christ, that their life will not remain the same. Father, I pray that you write their name in the book of life. That, Lord, on the last day, you say, welcome to the kingdom, you faithful servants. Thank you, blessed Father, for going to the cross and die on our behalf. And Lord, you've said that those who come to you, they will never be cast away. I believe that as many that have surrendered their life to you today, Lord, they will not be cast away. But Lord Jesus Christ, they will be welcomed into the kingdom. Thank you, blessed Father. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. And amen.